Okay, tonight we're going to look briefly at the Word, and the verse for tonight is Mark 9, verses 42 and 43. Mark 9, 42 and 43. So this is a verse that kind of pivots from the last section that we looked at in Mark and attaches to the beginning of the next one that we will be looking at. Mark 9, 42 and 43, two different kinds of stumbling are in view, causing someone to stumble. So here Jesus says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you," and then it says to sin, but it's actually the same verb. "If your hand causes you to stumble or to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." So in these two verses, Jesus focuses on stumbling. Verse 42, "If you cause a little believer to stumble, Christ judges you worthy of being drowned." Verse 43, "If your own hand causes you to stumble, it's better to amputate your hand than to keep it and be judged and cast into hell." So the word stumble that's used there, it has the sense of causing to sin or causing to fall away. It just depends on the context. So it could be narrowly defined causing someone to sin, or it could be more broadly causing someone to be hindered in following Christ or causing them to fall away from Christ. So Jesus presents two strong warnings here. The first one is, if you cause a younger believer to sin, or you cause a younger believer to fall away from the Lord, the Lord will bring severe judgment on you, he says. And then secondly, he says, if something causes you to stumble or to wander from the Lord, cut it off. Cut it off so that you won't end up being cut off. So in the context of Mark, Jesus is saying this in this context of telling the disciples what to expect if they're going to follow Jesus. He tells them to expect that they will need to lower themselves. They will need to expect to serve others. They will need to expect to lose their lives in this world in order to gain their lives in the everlasting world. He says, be willing to give up things here in order to gain things that truly last, to gain things that truly have value. So, for instance, if we're talking about things that cause others to stumble or things that cause us to be hindered in following Christ, it might be perfectly fine to watch online sports clips or skills clips, learning how to do things. But if there's any aspect of that that causes you to drift from the Lord, or causes someone else to drift from the Lord, it's not worth it. He says, just cut it off. Or it might be fine to use social media, any of the different options there for social media. But if social media causes you to stumble, or causes someone else to sin, or causes you to sin, he says, it's just not worth it. Cut it off. Now, over the years, a number of people here in this congregation have talked about unplugging from news, unplugging from politics, and finding that it brings much better fruit in their lives. It brings better relationships with human beings. And that's a good example. I commend people when they do that, and they have this testimony that it actually is worth it. Romans 14 is another place that amplifies this part of Jesus' teaching. It talks about stumbling, causing another to stumble, and uses that same word there. Listen in Romans 14 how stumbling comes up. In that context, Romans 14, Paul talks about how eating or drinking can cause another person to stumble, could cause another person to sin or to be hindered in following the Lord. And the whole notion there is, if I am self-pleasing, self-centered in my eating or drinking or some other optional activity, if I am self-centered in it, it can cause another believer to stumble. So Romans 14, starting at verse 6, Paul says, "He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself." We don't live these self-centered existences. We have a higher calling, a higher allegiance. "And no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Then verse 12, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put," and here's our word, "not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love." In other words, if you cause another person to stumble, you are not walking in love. "Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died." And then jumping ahead to verse 21, "It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." So Paul is echoing what Jesus says there. There may be something that is fine for you to do in and of itself, but if it starts to cause someone else to stumble, to be hindered in their following of Christ, or if it causes you to be slowed down or diverted from wholeheartedly following Jesus, he says, cut it off. Cut it off. It's not worth it. And with regard to the other person, it's no longer walking in love. So as we think about this, you don't want to think about cutting off the hand, cutting off the foot as a matter of just being self-denial. This is not just asceticism. It's much higher than that. It's a call to love. That's why he says, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. So the question that we ask ourselves when we're faced with this instruction from Jesus is, I'm supposed to give up some things that I enjoy. I'm supposed to give up some things which inherently are permissible, but you know, I don't want to. Why would I do that? Why do I have to do that? And then, of course, we come living under gospel freedom, not with the question of why do I have to do that, but why would I want to give up the things that I want to do? What will make me want to give up some food, some drink, some pleasures for the sake of my brother or for my sister? There's a story that occurred maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. A 9-year-old boy in California named Ryan. Ryan went to public school. He heard that some of his friends at school could not afford to buy the school lunch. And so they were continuing to receive the lunch, but they were racking up a school debt with the cafeteria. When Ryan heard about it, he asked his mother if he could forego his own allowance, if she could save up his allowance so that he could use it to pay off the school lunch debt. The total amount for all of the students there that weren't able to afford lunch and were racking up this debt was $74. When asked about this, Ryan said that he would usually use his allowance money to buy things like sports gear, things like autographed baseballs. But instead, he chose to forego his allowance, have his mom save it up, and then he gave it anonymously to the school. Why did he do it? Ryan said, "I just want them," his fellow students, "I just want them to realize people actually think about them. I want them to feel happy that someone cares about them." So when you have the heart that Ryan expresses there, that you don't have to give up things in order to prevent someone from stumbling. You want to. And of course, the biggest example of this is not Ryan, it's Jesus Christ in the gospel. Did Jesus Christ give up food for another? In a sense, he gave up food until he starved to death and died. Ultimately, Jesus is the one who gave up his entire life so that we could gain life. Jesus is the one who denied himself pleasures, who didn't please himself, so that in that grand exchange on the cross, we could receive the pleasures of God's favor. Jesus is the one who loved me and gave himself for me so that I could start to truly love others and love God. And it's when you start to enter into that, when that's yours, Jesus has done that for me. When you're convinced that Jesus loved you that much, it starts to warm your heart. It starts to unclench your fist from the thing that you're holding on to, that you don't want to have to give it up. You don't want to have to deny yourself. And it starts to open up your hand so that you want to serve your brother or your sister by denying yourself. Amen.